You got me there, mate. Right. Oh, what's that?
It's
coming
home.
It's coming
home.
It's coming.
It's what you call it, look.
Oh, it's the marching band. Just remain still blazing.
It's only a 30 second click, Omar. I might send it to you and you could use it as a gap in between part one and part
two.
Tell
you what, that's our intro right there. I'll sing along to it as well and you playing it. Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Close Season Special with That Mill Podcast. Hope you're doing well. It's myself, Omar, leading today, joined by my regular co-host, Mickey Simpson, the Mr. X founder board. How you doing, pal?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Fucking hell. When will I get rid of that? I haven't been found on the board for about fucking 2 years, I think.
Mate, you'll always be the X founder on the board in my
since
eyes.
Since Portugal.
So.
When all the Portugal stuff kicked off, that's when I left.
The pre-season and stuff like that.
That's got to be 2 years ago now, mate. But then again, more. I suppose, maybe three. But yeah, it's one of those, though, isn't it? I don't think it'll ever go, but... Yeah,
it's a nice tag to have, mate. There's only two people that have been a fan of the ball before, so it's definitely a nice tag to have there. Joining us is our resident co-host or resident guest in Mr. Kai Bennett of Mill Fan TV fame. How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Hope everyone's doing well. Thank you very much for having me.
No worries, mate. Football's coming home as we had the little intro there. So, you know, everything's all fine and dandy. We'll obviously talk about England later on in the show. And obviously, if you're new to the show, be sure to check us out and give us a rating. Anything appreciated on Apple and Spotify podcasts. And obviously, check us out on social medias at That Mill Pod. We're going to go straight into part one, and that'll be an update on all things Millwall. One that I've never actually been this excited for in the six special editions we've had so far of the Close Season. Millwall signed three players in the last week. Three players, Mickey. Mate, come on. You're on mute as well, which is like just classic Mickey Simpson. But
there is some intent there, mate, in there. I think there is some huge amount of intent from the club, from the board, that, you know what, fuck it. You know, if we're going to go for it, let's go for it now. And to be fair, this is probably the best season to have a go at it because of the rest of the clubs out there are fucked on money. So there's not going to be loads and loads of big money spendings. And if we can get these three ex-Wolves, you know, they played together at Wolves. If we can get these three running with the ball and scoring goals, then I think we stand a very exciting season this season.
So three signings for Millwall. Daniel Ballard was the first to join on the dotted line, sign on loan from Arsenal. And I think the trio that Mickey's referring to there is Benik Afobe signing and George Saville. And I'm sure the link up with Jed Wallace, all three having played for Wolves before. Benik Afobe joining on loan from Stoke City and return of the Sav. I mean, out of nowhere, a permanent deal signing from Middlesbrough, returning back to SE16, Kai. Obviously, give me your thoughts on all three of them, but obviously, especially George Saville returning back to the Den.
Buzzing. When I woke up on Friday morning, I saw that news. Oh, God, I've never felt so good. Like, I've just got out of bed, seen that news, just made the day even better than it already was. Apart from already being Friday, of course, it's just made it even better. So, yeah, I was really pleased to see Saville. It's one of them ones where, you know, he can score goals from the midfield, and we really, really needed that. And, you know, every single window, we keep saying we need it, and we never seem to get one. And finally, it's great to see Saville return. I saw something on Twitter the other day that we've replaced George Saville by signing George Saville.
Yep.
So we never did sign him. We never really replaced him, did we?
Very true. And I think a lot of people coined that. I mean, Rowett's been quite big and vocal on Saville in particular, being that goal scoring midfielder, Mickey, that obviously goals have not really been, been a bit of a rarity for us, especially last season. So Saville, hopefully you can repeat the 10 goals from the season before you left us, mate.
Absolutely. It's quite mad as well, if you think about it. Saville left MFC to join MFC, then left MFC to come back to MFC. I don't think any player has ever done that before, mate. But yeah, well, that's quite mad, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? He could have had an MFC tattoo and he wouldn't have worried where he'd gone then, like us or Borough. But no, I think it's a great signing. I think he's a good lad. He needs to get his football back on track, and I think he can do that working with Jed. We just need Jed to sign now, and that will just complete the fairy tale for us. I don't think in a long, long time that it's been this exciting waiting for season to kick off. Hopefully the pre-seasons will get people, you know, that he'll play some of the full team in pre-season so we can actually, you know, start to see what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think I've ever been excited for a pre-season and a season to start as we are. And to be fair, mate, I think they've done us a favour because it helps us right out as a podcast going into the season when we got these people joining the club and we know they can play football.
It's exciting, isn't it? I mean, so Saville obviously was gone for 3 years at Middlesbrough, obviously during COVID spell as well there, but 113 league appearances, 11 goals up at the Teesside club and 6 goals in particular last season. So showing signs of a bit of form there. He played in a similar sort of setup, you know, similar sort of manager, I'm going to say, and Neil Warnock to Gary Rowett, you know, quite set up defensively, you could argue, 5 at the back as well. And he's just going to hopefully come seamlessly into the side, isn't he, Kai? And just hopefully just carry straight on from where he left before.
Yeah, definitely. And I think now he comes back, and even though, you know, we finished that season where just before he left, it was really exciting, wasn't it? We finished 8th and we thought, oh, really good, and we were going to push on. I do think that this time he comes into probably a better side in terms of quality than before. That the before was sort of a much more, how do I put it? It was a, you know, Gregory and Morrison up top. It was a classic Millwall team, wasn't it, with correct. The way we played and everything. But now I think Gary Rowett's tried to bring us forward with the passing on the ground, and you can see the way he wants to go by signing a Phoebe up top, who's going to be, you know, quick and powerful, hopefully. And, you know, it's not going to work lobbing balls up to him. So you're going to need that person in behind. I think we can see the way he wants to play. And with them three linking up, with Bennett hopefully on the other side, it could be really exciting this season.
It's super. I mean, it's exactly what I was asking for. I think Mickey said earlier there, obviously, about, you know, something to talk about, something to shout about. Obviously, mentioned Jed Wallace there as well. I mean, last week, if you listen to our show, you know, I think I was quite vocal and quite, you know, agitated, really. The news broke that Wallace had not signed a new deal yet. The club had been speaking for a little while with Wallace since rumours be April, towards the end of last season. No new deal signed. And I was thinking, you know what, I don't think it's so much on Wallace, and this is still my thought of process on that. I think he just needs to see a bit of ambition. And I think, you know what, I think this is ambition. You mentioned Afobe there. Obviously, Afobe had a loan spell with us, I think, 7 years ago now in 2013. Well, it's 2013 season, I believe, anyway. And obviously, last season spent the season on loan in Turkey. Got 5 goals in 10 starts, 28 appearances overall. Obviously, a player that scored a lot of goals in the Championship before. I think he scored 22 goals in 46 appearances for Wolves. Then he moves and went off for a £10 million deal to the Premier League at Bournemouth at the time. And then a year after, a couple of years later, actually, I think it was, a certain Gary Rowett spent £12 million on him at Stoke City. I mean, Mickey, I think Afobe, Kai said it there about being that man that could be, you know, in behind. But I think he's a bit of everything, isn't he? And hopefully could be the goals that, you know, kind of shows our ambition and gets Wallace to sign that contract as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Rowett's done well because what he's done is he's got players. He knows where they can play, what they can do. He knows their mentality. He knows their attitude, and he's just getting those players around him. And I think it's not going to do us any harm going into this season with players that he knows can do the business wherever he needs to do them. Certain positions, I think we might be really heavy on now. We've got, you know, loads of players what can do it. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'd rather have too many than not enough. Especially as last season hurt us with injuries and everything else like that. If we've got enough players to cope, then I think we've got an exciting season coming very, very soon, starting on the 8th of August, gents.
I agree. I think, you know, there's probably going to be a couple of departures before we see any more arrivals, if there is any more to come in. I think Rowett mentioned about potentially one more player, but I think, if anything, that'll be before we see the likes of Bodfarson and hopefully Thompson maybe go out on loan or maybe move on to pass as new. But yeah, I mean, Afobe hopefully fills that void, hopefully comes a bit more promise. And he's got a full pre-season, hasn't he, Kai, to kind of knuckle down, get involved and kind of blend into what Rowett wants.
Yeah, I think that's so important, having a full pre-season, isn't it? Just being able to bond and gel with the players. And I think, you know, they're going to Scotland next week, I think it is, where they did the same place they went last year. And that will really help. Obviously, they always say that they used to go to Portugal, didn't they, before when they could. And that really helps, just getting away and spending a week, a proper period of time together. That really helps. And I think a Afobe will gel pretty easily, having already known these boys, some of the players. And I think just going away for a week, we'll just bring that back and get to know the other players.
Mickey, we're quite critical normally of Rowett going back in for players that he's worked with before, but I think this time I can't argue with the Afobe signing. I think, albeit like we said in the COVID dynamic where, you know, we can't necessarily spend big bucks on strikers like Afobe, that, you know, okay, he's had a couple of injuries before, but on paper for Championship level, 28 years of age, he's a player that can really, you know, if he gets the opportunity to play and he gets the full season, he could be a real kind of talent on our hands here.
I think you're right, absolutely. I think what I see with Fabi is a player what needs to get back to his best. And Rauch giving him a sign of trust, knowing that he's going to repay him. Same as Saville, you know, same as his Arsenal lad. And I think all three of those players have been shown huge commitment by Millwall and by Rauch to say, look, you know what? You want to get back to your best? Come play for me. I'll help you get there. I'll give you the time. I'll give you the effort. You know, all I want you to do is do X, Y, Z. And as I said, you know, I think there's a great sign, a huge, huge sign of intent from the club. I don't think I've ever seen so many people happy with the signings. I don't think I've seen any real negativity for these signings at all. Even with Saville coming back, a couple of people going, oh, you know, it was a stepping stone. But you know what? He's back, all good.
100%. I think with Saville in particular, it seems like it's a mutual beneficial thing here where Mill need a midfielder that scores goals. But also, I think reading between the lines and reading what the local press up in Middlesbrough said, an article that we saw when Neil Warnock was talking and cited about a few off-field issues with Saville, Kai, you know, it's not just obviously coming back to Mill and obviously Mill kind of coming forward, like we said, and players being of a higher quality. It seems for Saville in particular as well, this is like a move for him that, you know, he couldn't refuse and was more than happy to come back to.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the fact that he only had 1 year left on his deal, they didn't want to see him go on a freak, you know, after leaving, you know, for them for, was it 7-8 million, something like that? Mm-hmm. You know, you can't let us play like that go on free, can you? So it made sense, I think, for all parties. And I also saw about the, you know, he wanted to come back to London and stuff like that. So that was, and it was nice to see that he's, you know, he could have picked anywhere in London. He could have picked QPR, you know, he could have booked Fulham if he wanted to go to Fulham. I mean, I don't know whether Fulham wanted him or not, but, mm-hmm. but it was nice to see that he wanted to come back to Millwall. And that's the good thing. I think there's players that are actually wanting to play for this club now, which is really good. Whereas, you know, I think in the past, players have sort of just been, you know, come to Millwall and then they haven't really been, their heart hasn't been in it. But it's good to see now that players want to come to Millwall and that's a really good thing in my opinion.
I have to agree, mate. And I think also I'll get on to the first signing and lastly for us, the first signing of last week, which was Daniel Ballard, guys. I mean, so Ballard is a 21-year-old central defender, 6'2", Northern Ireland international. Played 25 times last season for Blackpool and actually was involved in their playoffs and obviously helping them to get promoted to the Championship. I think there's a lot of interest, especially from Blackpool, to get him back on loan this season. But we've pipped a few clubs there and we've signed an Arsenal young defender, Kai. I mean, have you seen much of Ballard? Do you have any accounts of him that you've seen online or anything that you can kind of give us a bit of detail about him?
I watched an interesting highlight reel of him. He posted it on his account, and it looked really, really good, actually. It looks like someone's made it for him, but it looked really good. It looks like he brings the ball out from the back, and what Rowett said about him is that he likes to bring the ball out from the back. He loves a tackle, and I saw an article that said he loves smashing people. Well, that's music to my ears, you know, just nice. Being able to take people out and stuff. And it shows that he's a tough tackler, and he wants to win, and that's exactly what we asked for. All we asked for is 100%. And if he gives that, then no one will complain. And I think, yeah, it looks like a really good signing for me.
I had an account from an Arsenal fan. I mean, admittedly, obviously, Arsenal fans haven't seen a lot of Ballard because he's not played for them. But from the accounts of, like, you know, seeing from the youth ranks, he's a player that likes, he's a bit of a Rolls Royce on the ball for a defender, so to speak, which for me, all fans, is always a bit of an issue. However, at the same time, he said to me, he loves a tackle and he's a bit of a brute. Literally what you said there, like 6'2", Mickey, bit of a force, scored 2 goals last season as well for Blackpool. You know, we're talking about chipping in with goals from all over the pitch, but, you know, 6'2", 6'3", centre half, massive. Got to be a threat also in the other end of the box.
Mate, when this comes out on Wednesday, we'll post, there's a YouTube video of him saving balls off the line. And fuck me, the boy can go back. I mean, you know, it looks like him on his own could strengthen our defence on its own, mate. He just seems, he's a boy who likes to be the last player on the ball if it's near his own goal. And yeah, the video is superb. I mean, some of the blocks he does, the keepers miss it and he's on the line, literally last man of defence, and he clears them off the line. And there's a whole video of him from, you know, Arsenal and other clubs where he's come through. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him. As long as he's not a parrot, which I don't think he will, I think he will do good for us.
Not a lot of experience at this level I mean, obviously, he played at League One, Kai, but, you know, 25 games. I think he's at Swindon before that. He's had a couple of injuries. Last season, he signed a season-long deal for Blackpool. Was injured at the first part of the season. He's spelled at Swindon before that. Was cut short by injury. Hopefully, he's over that. But I think with, you know, Mickey saying about Parrott there, but, you know, he's had the experience of a couple of loan spells away from the club, especially going to Blackpool, which is obviously up in the country. So hopefully, this just comes, you know, hand in hand and he just kicks it off straight away with Millwall.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he reminds me a little bit of a young Jake Cooper, because I think when Jake Cooper was younger, I think he suffered with a few injuries, didn't he? And and look at him since then, he's been fantastic. So I'm hoping that we can rediscover that form that he was like at Blackpool, because, you know, he looked really, really good. And also, he's a Northern Ireland international, isn't he? So I saw that he's been up against the best. He's marked Mbappe and he's marked all these players. And, you know, that experience really helps at levels like this. Just, you know, even if it's only a one-off game, it just gives you that little bit of confidence, especially that if he dealt with him well, it gives him confidence. And it, you know, I think it's a really positive signing for us.
Savile's Northern Ireland as well, isn't he?
Yeah, played with him. Yeah, so I think Bala's got 5 caps for Northern Ireland, so obviously he's been involved in the setup there. And, you know, it's good to, obviously, players know each other. It's always going to help from day one, and hopefully they can just kick on. I mean, let's talk about it then. If you're Dread Wallace, we'll talk about how exciting these 3 signings are. Mickey, if you're Dread Wallace and you're seeing that, is that convincing you to think I'm going to sign the contract? Or as he opens a can of beer there?
We obviously record this now, so earlier on I thought, right, I'll put a couple of beers in the freezer rather than in the fridge and they might not be cold. Put them in the freezer. And the downside is I took the dog for a walk and then realised that, shit, I've left the beer in the freezer just a minute ago. And I've got Carlsberg slush puppy. So I've got a sort of hope that they warm up and defrost and give me a lager, because at the moment I've had about a quarter of a pint of one can and the rest of it's still slush and this one's there. But no, I think if Jed wanted any intent on the club, I think this is it. If he doesn't sign, then obviously, you know, it speaks other volumes. It speaks volumes of, you know, maybe just, you know, I mean, you can't begrudge the geezer. The geezer is good. If he feels that he wants to run at the Premiership, and let's not be funny, you know, he's 27 now. He ain't got long left, really, professionally. His career could be ended at any day through one dodgy tackle. If he wants to get the big money, I don't think I'd hold it against him, to be fair. Benefit his family, sort his future out. If he can get a big payday, 20, 30, 40 grand a week or something from a Premiership club, then I think, you know, he's got to go for it, isn't he?
And if you're Jed Wallace, Kai, and obviously, you know, or if you're Millwall, actually, I want to say, if you've got a player in your last year of contract, I know we said last week about, you know, I've had a rethink about this myself, but if you've got a player in your last year of contract, and especially a player like Wallace, and, you know, we've signed these 3 players now, we want to try and kick on, the squad's competitive, it's higher quality, ambitions there. This is part of the 3-year plan, you know, the 3rd year of Rowett now, and obviously wanting to kick on. Do you sell him, or do you just roll the dice and hope that, you know, come January, February time, we're in the top 6, Wallace thinks, okay, I might wait till then to sign the contract, but if we're up there, it might be worth it. Or would you want to sell him? How would you play if he was Millwall?
I think it's really difficult. I think that I honestly believe, and I've said this to a few people, that I think that once the fans come back and once he sees the fans at the Den again, I think he'll remember why he loves this club so much. And I'm hoping that the fans come back to the stadium, will get him to sign that contract, just because of the love and the support he gets through social media and through on the pitch. And I think he'll because without fans, I think it's quite easy to forget what the fans were like and stuff, and that will just remind him again what great fans we have and why he loves his club. And I do think he'll stay, so I think I'd keep him, and hopefully by January he'd sign a new contract.
I hope you're right, mate. I really do. And I do agree with you. I think also the value of what we might get for Wallace, especially in a COVID world, as much as I think that we might try and get 5 million for him, I'm starting to think maybe it wouldn't be that, and it'd probably be less, especially in the last year of contract. The value that he'd offer us potentially to get into the top 6 and who knows, promotion, it's worthwhile, I think, just rolling the dice and keeping hold of him personally. So I do agree with you there, mate. And hopefully they'll sign. Go on, Mickey.
No, I agree with you. I think it's worth a gamble. You know, just keep him playing. And hope that, you know, all of a sudden he looks at it and thinks, actually, I could get to the Prem with Millwall. Let's just go for it and you know, runs his contract. And then we get in the Prem and he just signs a new 3-year deal and stays with us. And job done, we're in the Prem running with the best of them.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of like reading into what Rowett said and he's spelled Millwall and stuff like that, and like the 3-year plan he says. And I'm not gonna lie, before these three signings, I know he said a lot about, you know, players come in. We thought, where are the players? But you know, fair play Millwall, they've come back to pre-season, three signings in the space of a couple of days. And it's funny how three signings can just change your whole perspective on things, isn't it, Kai?
Yeah, definitely. I think this time last week we were a little bit we were a bit upset by the news about Jed Welby. We were a bit, you know, irritated and a little bit upset, just a bit disappointed, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think we weren't sort of blaming Jed, where we were more blaming the club at that time of why, you know, they're not sort of just giving him the deal, or why they're signing not any deal or whatever. But this, just in the space of a week, it can really change your mindset. And I, at the moment, like this time last week, I was thinking, you know, if we let Jed go, we're going to struggle. This, you know, now I'm thinking playoffs is a real possibility for me. And I don't think I'm swimming in Bournemouth on the last day of the season if it all goes well.
The highs and lows of following a Millwall football club, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Question for both of you, I suppose, is if Jed did go, do you think we'd miss him now?
I still think we would.
Yeah, I still think we would, yeah.
I mean, obviously, the players that we're bringing in, I think Savile's obviously of higher quality, but I think as an outlet and what he offers to the sides, I think you can't replace Wallace, I think, at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Food for thought. I mean, some other news that's come out this week from Millwall, just to round up this part. I mean, we've appointed a new coach called Paul Robinson. No, not the Paul Robinson, another Paul Robinson, named Paul Robinson. Paul Robinson from Birmingham City, a previous footballer, played at Premier League, quite high standard, left back, I believe he was, / centre half. Paul Robinson's joined Gary Wright's backroom team, worked with him at Birmingham City. I mean, I guess it's a no-brainer, Kai, you know, that extra body in, obviously replacing the job that Sean Williams done, I suppose, last season.
Yeah. It seems like it's good to get things done quickly. The only thing that I would say is that, you know, we sort of sometimes we complained last year about maybe the defensive mindset of the team. We would like to see them go forward a little bit more. And I think Paul Robinson was a left back, wasn't he? So adding a defender to the team, to the backroom staff, maybe just makes us a little bit, keeps us being a bit more defensive. But, you know, if we don't concede any goals, then you can't lose games. So, you know, overall, pleased with that. And hopefully he'll improve the squad. And by the sound of it, he was quite an attacking wing back, wasn't he? So, you know, hopefully continue to improve Malone and McNamara. And that will get us attacking in its own way.
I suppose it's a good point there, isn't it, Mickey? You know, he's a defensive-minded coach. Obviously, we're trying to replace Callum Davidson. You're quite vocal about, you know, the void that Davidson left. Hopefully Robertson can help fill that void.
And again, it's a player what Rowett's played with before. He was captain on one of his sides.
He obviously trusts his people, doesn't he?
This is what I'm saying, you know, trust. And I reckon that, you know, if he was a captain of Birmingham at the side Rowett was there, which weren't a bad team, he's obviously a good, you know, people person. And I think that's going to bring the unity to the club. And I think that's what he wants. You know, wrapping people around and all that lot. I see it as another benefit, to be fair. You know, I don't know what he's like coaching skills wise, but I think Rowett would have brought him in for a reason. I don't think he just brings people along for the free ride. But again, I think what we missed with Callum was that man management side of the business, where he brought Pierce back for that side of it. And I think that now you've got Paul Robinson, I think that's potentially to fill that role as well as Pierce. And you've got two people looking after the players. Players can talk to them and all that. Look, because you know it's like when we did the previous show when we talked to our Paul Robinson and David Ford, etc., Alan Dunn about the family in the book. The family, they were talking then that, you know, you couldn't really go see Kenny. You always went and saw his number two. Any problems and anything else, you'll go see his number two. And maybe that's where, you know, you can't play that. You can't be the best of everything when you're a manager at a football club. You've got to have that distance between you and your players. And you need that other person who you know, makes the phone call and says, look, really sorry you didn't get picked, lad, but don't worry, there's always next week, and bump them up. You can't really do that as a manager. So again, I think the club's shown real intent. It's very unusual for us to have a whole podcast with no negativity towards Millwall in any shape or form, but I don't see any reason why we can be any negative. I think it's great signings. I think it's been, you know, good news there. I think the only negativity has got is our social media team at Millwall seems to
be a 12-year-old boy's got hold of the account wanting likes and tweets and, you know, Harry Kane was made here and all that sort of shit when England won the other day. But it is what it is. But that's, look, if that's the only negative we've got, mate, then you know what, we're doing something right. And good luck to, you know, Steve, JB, etc. These are some good signings and a massive sign of intent for us, something what we probably haven't seen, and Kai, you probably haven't seen in your lifetime for being a Millwall fan.
This is close season show number 6, and like, I've been buzzing for the last 6 weeks. I think last week was a test of my patience, thinking Wallace is potentially going to leave us, but yeah. I'll eat humble pie now. I think I'm so buzzing, and we'll get on to part 3 later on where we talk about a little announcement that Boris made today, which is Monday, and yeah, hopefully this is going to be a season that we all remember for the right reasons, and who knows what can happen. Who bloody knows? Just a quick couple of things to wrap up there. I mean, another post from the club this week, some promising news. 5 young players signed the professional contracts. Jordan Gilmore, goalkeeper, Arthur Penny, defender, midfielder Alfie Allen, and attackers Nana Boateng and Tyrese Briscoe all signed professional contracts. So congratulations to them. I think you've said that a bit before. You mentioned before Nana Boateng, Kai. I might be mistaken. I think you've seen a bit of it before.
Yeah, there was a person that used to get on the lives, didn't he? Remember, he was very, really, really knowledgeable about the young lad. So that was that he was always interested in. He, you know, put a little bit about him. But I have seen a bit of Nana Boateng. He's really quick and direct. He's a really good player, actually. And it'd be interesting to see whether we can hopefully bring him in. And I think that's a really positive one, considering Abdul Malik is you know, potentially going now, whether he's going or not. So I think it's the club are sort of thinking we need to get these players tied down. He's a really good player. So I'm pleased to see him stay.
Absolutely. Sounds very Cherno done it over Malik.
Yeah, no, I mean, who knows what's going on there, to be honest. I think once we do know, I'm sure we'll have our opinion to weigh in on it. But obviously, rumoured to be on trial with Portsmouth, isn't he? So, yeah, I mean, I think that tells a story, hasn't it, I suppose, there in that case, and especially as the club offering your contract.
Can we stop calling Portsmouth Portsmouth? Can we just, from this moment on, just call them the Millwall South Coast 11? Do you know what I mean? They seem to have all our ex-players and want some of our players. So I think from this moment on, we no longer call them Portsmouth, we just called them the Millwall South Coast 11.
Yeah, I think Wimbledon at one point were trying to take that from us when Jimmy Abdu went there and Paul Robinson. But yeah, I think Fordy obviously was there a couple of years ago as well at Portsmouth, and Robbo as well at one point. So yeah, definitely there is a bit of NK Jacket. John Marquis up front as well, don't forget.
Now it's funny from Williams.
Yeah, so there's a team forming there. So there's a Millwall heart in that Portsmouth 11. So and obviously one more quick shout. Hayden Muller completed his loan move to go up to St Johnston. Obviously link up with Callum Davison, who we spoke about just briefly there as well. I mean, I'm interested about this one. I mean, Kai, I think, you know, we both said, obviously, Muller, you know, we were hoping high hopes for him. But, you know, if he's playing in the Scottish Premier League, a team that won the Cup last year, and if he gets game time there, could be a Danny McNamara strike two there, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really good. I think, you know, with Ballard coming in, the last thing you wanted to see him do was sit on the bench and struggle for game time. So I think it's really good to see him move out. And because, to be honest, I would have loved to see him play. But, you know, if the next best thing is loan football, and they're also in the Europa League, aren't they, St Johnstone this year? So that'll be really exciting for him as well, with fans coming back as well. It'd be great to see him link up with Davidson, and hopefully it'll be another McNamara story there.
Absolutely. It could be just making of him, Mickey, as well, isn't it? You know, going up north, sitting in Scotland, you can either sink or swim. I know, do you know what? This is why I credit Tanto or Alafe quite a lot, because he went there at the start of last season, got knocked back, went to Sutton and banged the goals in for them. And I think I put a lot of value in that. But also, you know, McNamara going there and being a success, this could just be the making of Muller to really kind of firm him up to be a future Mill defender.
Young kid, away from home, mm-hmm. new town, new club, new teammates. And I think it'll be, you know, I think Catlin will look after him. I think it's a great move for him. And hopefully, in a season or two, he'll be hitting Millwall full strength. And we'll have one class player starting to establish himself within our team.
Everything crossed for you, Hayden. I mean, we might put this online, so hopefully it works out for him, and hopefully he comes back and becomes a force to reckon with at the Den. I'm just going to end this part on my prospects of a starting 11 for next season, chaps. Barton goal, back three of Ballard, Hutchinson and Cooper. McNamara right wing back, left wing back of Scott Malone. I'm going to put Saville, and I'm also going to chuck in Ryan Lennon in midfield. I could have Evans, I could have Mitchell, could have Keefton Beld, could even throw Thompson in there if he sticks around. And then I'm going to say Mason Bennett and Jeb Wallace leave a flank with a phobia up front. I mean, Kai, come on, that gets you excited, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes. That's really good news, that. And it'd be great to see Leonard back as well. That'll be like a bit of a new signing for us, won't it, considering he's been out for so long. But yeah, I'm really pleased. That's a really exciting team. And it's, you know, it just shows what Raoul's built at this club, because when he first came, you know, the team was nothing like that. And now it's starting to take shape. And I think it's the best chance we've had in a couple of years of finally making the Premier League. So fingers crossed this year's our year.
Mickey?
The thing that gets me is that obviously with the 5 substitution rule as well, which, you know, we'll probably still be in, realistically, we've still got players on the bench, mate, what could come in and just, you know, carry on doing that. It's too early to get overexcited, but fuck me, what an exciting season we're coming into. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those where, you know, the writing's on the wall. If they want it, destiny is in their hands. If they want it, then I don't see why they can't go get it. Because there's no one in the Championship this year, I think, who really threatens us or is scary. I think it's game on and fingers crossed.
Well, that wraps up part one. And we're going to go into part two. And if you've listened to the last few weeks, you already know what we're about to talk about. And I'm giving you a clue, 3 words. It's coming home. Home, guys. England are in the Euro 2021 or 2020, whichever way you want to legally look at it. Semi-final. We're playing Denmark on Wednesday night, chaps. Beat Ukraine 4-0 on Saturday in the quarterfinal.
Not been done since 1962 in a tournament.
66,
wasn't
it? 66
even, yeah.
I was thinking 1962. No, either Mickey's a real stato there or he's made a blooper there. But I mean,
no, 66, sorry. 66 when we beat Germany at Wembley 4-2. So, you know, I think, again, the writing's on the wall. When you've been looking at the way these Euros have been going, teams what you thought were, fuck, I don't really want to play them, are going out. You're now looking at what's left. It's now Denmark and then potentially Spain or Italy. And I don't think there's any team there what really looking at we're coming on fire at the right point. Again, I don't think there's any team left in what scares us. They're all beatable.
I love it. And this is it. Like, I think, you know, I feel like Wednesday's a banana skin. I thought the same about Saturday. But, you know, Kai, we just got to have confidence in this team. You know, it was a banana skin, yes. But 3 minutes in, Harry Kane bags 1-0. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Like, what's going on, mate?
I know, mate. It's absolutely crazy. And then this time next week when we're sat here doing it again, it could have come home by this time. You know, we could have won the final.
I don't even want to think what state I'll be in on Monday evening next week if we're recording. So I don't even want to consider the thought process going through my head of what kind of state I'll be left in, especially if we do get there. It's coming home. It's coming home, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm confident.
Love it. I mean, obviously, you know, 2 goals from Kane. Kane's on 3 goals now for the tournament. Maguire chipping in and Henderson chipping in with 2 headers there. I mean, whether we even begin to try and recap that game. I mean, Kane scoring Luke twice Shaw. Is ideal. Luke Shaw,
you cap it in. I mean, you watch those games in, you know, what, 4 games, 5 games we played, 4 games, whatever, 5 games now, innit, we played. Luke Shaw has been getting better and better every game. And to think that Mourinho told him, he don't understand football, he's not a football player and all this sort of shit. And then he starts putting balls in exactly the right place where players need them. And they were pinpoint. Those 2 goals were there for him and he puts them in and they get finished. And it just shows the point what we've been saying all the way through the games. You put service in for Kane, Kane will score them. Don't worry about that. And I mean, that shot had gone in, what, you know, on the first touch, that would have been the goal of the tournament, hands down. Yeah.
Left footed body, wasn't it? Edge of the box, coming straight at him from a rebound. That would have completed the hat trick as well. I mean, cool. Like, imagine that. That would have been absolute pandemonium.
It just shows his confidence is there now. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was interesting watching. I don't know how much of it you watched, but when we watched the England game for Ukraine the other night and then afterwards, and Gary was speaking to Shearer and saying to him, you know, what's it like? And he said, it's horrible. He said, you can't sleep. You feel shit. He said, you just, everything about you is horrible when you can't score a goal. He said, you're trying everything. You're hoping that it will come off your arse, your head, whatever it does to get in a goal, to get you on that journey. And, you know, as he said, you know, once Kane started, you know, I think it was something like 346 minutes of international gameplay, he hadn't scored. And then, fuck me, it was 9 minutes, he's, you know, before he last scored. So, you know, in 9 minutes or whatever, he scores two goals. So, yeah, no, I think everything's starting to gel. Sterling is proving all his critics wrong, which is great. But I don't think there's a bad player at the moment in the England team. And now the fact that he's got all 26 he can choose from. And you know, us as well, every game we've been slating Southgate going, what the fuck's he doing? Why has he picked him over there? Why are he doing this? Why are he doing that? But you know what? He's probably the first English management, probably in my lifetime, where he hasn't picked the superstars. He's picked the people he knows can do the job and plays them. And we question it, but they play for him.
It's the unity. I mean, that's the one thing, like, as much as we might say tactically this, tactically that, I've always said it, like, you know, every player there has had their ups and downs in football and been knocked back before, but, you know, he's chose a team with complete unity. And I think the best thing for me after the game on Saturday was straight away in the press conference, he's bigging up the likes of Ben Chilwell, Connor Cody, players that aren't going to probably get a minute played in this tournament, Kai, but the first thing he's saying is, you know, it's a team game and the unity that we've got, you know, and even Sancho coming in the other day as well, you know, brave to pick him, but, you know, he's showing that he trusts every player in that squad.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what's so good about this England squad, the unity, as you were just saying, and the simple things as well. When you're watching it, you can just see a massive difference. Like, I remember watching England a couple of years ago and they were almost more interested in club football. They pull out for injury and you'd see them starting a week later for their clubs. And you think, well, were you actually injured or did you just want to play for your club? But, you know, just simple things like all of them singing the national anthem with, you know, and they know all the words and just simple things like that. Southgate's taught them stuff like that. I think I saw something the other day that he made them all learn the national anthem off by heart or something. And that just shows real patriotism for the country. And it just shows that they really want to do well, which is really positive. And that's probably the first time in my lifetime that I've seen the England team that want to do so well and are, you know, they look destined, fingers crossed, to do it. And yeah, they've got a chance to make history now.
My reservations all along were not necessarily getting to this stage. It was, can we then, you know, we've got a big game coming against Denmark who are, you know, playing for more than just the football at this stage. I feel like, Mickey, with obviously what happened in the first game, Christian Eriksen. But my question was, is can we get to this stage when it comes down to the football? Can we get over the line? And Saturday was just superb. But I really do believe that it's made for us now to hopefully get to that final against Italy or Spain on Sunday.
Yeah, I'd rather Italy in the final. I think it'd be a much better.
That was my next question.
It would be a much, much, much tougher game because Italy are an Italy of old to play against. And I think that if you're going to win this tournament, then you need to win it by being the best team there. And I just don't think Spain so far has been the best team at the last three, what here, apart from us, you know, four clean sheets. But I think Italy are by far the most worrying, but the best team, I think, you know, apart from us in the tournament. And I would love to see them at the final.
That's interesting. I love it that you want to take on the best team, but I'd want Spain. I think Spain, for me, have been a bit up and down, a bit inconsistent, and I think they're missing that striker to Spain the goals in for them. Whereas I look at Italy and Insigne, and, you know, I'm thinking, cool, like, these are strikers here that can really hurt you if they're put through on goal. But then again, I thought the same about Germany with Müller, and we all know what happened last Wednesday when Müller was put through on goal. So who would you rather have on Sunday, Kai, if we get there? Obviously, caveat there, if we get there.
See, I'm the same with you, Omar. I think I'd much prefer Spain. I think it's, you know, it's better to. I just want to win the thing, so I don't really mind how we win it. I just want to win it, and I totally agree with how Mickey's going on. You know, he wants to be the best side, and that makes sense, to be honest. Because, you know, if you beat them, it makes you even look even better, doesn't it? But I think taking on the weaker team will be the better hope.
Think about beating Italy, going into the World Cup next year, beating probably the best team in the world, are fucking superb. And I mean, going into the World Cup on the back of winning, if we win this, then you know what? I don't think there's any fear. I think we stand a good chance of potentially grabbing that as well.
And a bit on Denmark, obviously, then, Kai, you know, obviously, like I said, you know, Christian Eriksen, they're on a roll, and there is more to it than just the football here for Denmark, isn't it? You know, I think on Saturday against Czech Republic, you know, they're racing to a two-goal lead, and it just looks a bit formidable to kind of play against. And they're not going to be any mean slouches on Wednesday, are they?
No, and if you look at the way they went into that last game of the group game, I think they were on 0 points, weren't they? They only just qualified, and that shows the how, you know, it wasn't easy to get there, but now they're there, they're taking their opportunity and they're doing it really well. I mean, that their win against Czech Republic was fantastic, and the way, you know, when that when Schick scored the for the first goal, that Republic Czech Republic's only goal, you feel like Czech Republic would potentially get back into the match, but they dealt with it so well. And I was really impressed with Denmark. They're going to be tough. They've got Højbjerg in front of in front of the defense. So obviously he's hard tackling and he'll want to, you know, he knows Kane, so he'll try and, you know, push back onto Kane and try and stop him. But yeah, it's going to be a really tough game. But in terms of quality wise, we have more quality than them. It's just absolutely, whether we can break them down.
I think Dahlberg is up front, obviously scored a couple goals. Yeah. Do worry about him. He's obviously been a young prospect for many years and, you know, he's on the stage now to kind of grab it. But I do think, I agree with you there. And I think I feel like it's a game made for Grealish. He's not played the last couple. Obviously, he's come off the bench against Germany, made two goals. Well, sure, made the first goal, but, you know, Grealish was involved. I do think it's made for us and I hope we do go and do it. Mickey, give me your prediction for England v Denmark on Wednesday.
I'm going to go for another 3 or 4 nil, I think.
Love it. Keep another clean sheet, yeah? No goals conceded up to the final. Yeah. I'm for it.
Yeah.
All right, Kane score a couple?
I reckon Kane will score two, Sterling score, and I reckon Grealish will score.
4-0 so, England.
I'm going to go 4-0 again. Maybe, actually, do you know what? I reckon Rice might get one, so I'm going to go 5-0. Fuck it.
I'll have a Colbert slush puppy whilst you're at it, please, mate. Whatever that is in that, I mean... I mean, I'm for it. I think myself, I think another clean sheet as well. I'm going to say 2-0. I think it's going to be a bit more testing than Ukraine. I think we'll have to be at our best, but I do think we'll get another early goal. I thought it would be 2-0 Saturday, and I thought Kane would score twice. I was almost there, just a couple more goals off it. But I do think we'll do it and do the business comfortably as well, hopefully. Kai?
I'm going to go 3-0. I'm going to go Kane double, and I'm going to go with Mason Mount to get one. I think he'll start. But it's so interesting about Kane, isn't it? Because this time last week, he hadn't scored. And now he's, you know, if he gets a couple more, he could win the golden boot for the tournament. So it just shows you how quickly fortunes can change. And we're peaking at the right time, which is really good news.
25-1 he was to get the golden boot before Saturday. And now I think the odds are slashed completely. So it just shows to show you, Denver brought out Harry Kane.
Yeah, crazy.
I might put a fiver on England, 5-0 with Kane to score two. See what odds I can get.
Oh, blimey. I mean, hey, let us know and be sure to post a tweet online for it. I mean, I can't ask you about the other semi-final chaps. I mean, Italy versus Spain. I've said I want Spain to get through, but I don't think they will. I think it'll be Italy to be shrewdly winning it. I think they'll win it 2-1. I think, you know, the know-how they had against Belgium, I think it'll show through again. And I think they might just have too much for Spain. Kai, prediction for Italy versus Spain?
I think it'll be 1-0 Italy. I think they'll win it in extra time.
Nice. Mickey?
Yeah, I think Italy will win. And I hope that it goes the extra time and I hope it goes penalties and they win on penalties. Just so the fact that they'll be knackered. I hope they get a few yellow cards and a few really hard tackles. And then going into Sunday will be fantastic for us. So, yeah.
Fingers crossed. I mean, I think England had a few bookings to worry about, but I think for the semi-finals, they're getting wiped off. So I don't think Italy have anyone missing, but I think, you know, for us, fortunately, all the players are available, like we said, and it's coming home, lads. It's coming home. Right, that's the end of part two. We'll go on to part three, and we'll be back in a second with a bit of a general / misc update for you guys. And welcome back to the final part of the show. Lads, I'm just going to go straight to it. Boris Johnson made a statement today confirming that COVID restrictions are lifted completely for entertainment and general hospitality purposes. No more social distancing. Everything's scrapped and confirming also football stadiums can have full capacity from the 19th of July. Mickey, mate, football's coming home for England, but it's truly coming home next month when we can go back to the Den.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've got to just be a bit careful that it's not all smoke and mirrors, that, you know, Boris hasn't cleared it all and then... You know, the safety committees and the fucking local authorities don't fuck us over. But yeah, at the moment, it looks like football is coming home to everywhere. And to be fair, though, realistically, he couldn't not announce this when he's putting 60,000 fans in Wembley on Wednesday and 60, you know, potentially 60 or more. I can see them allowing Wembley to go full capacity. If England get to the final, I can see them allowing England... and go, you know, full capacity at Wembley. because they want to make sure that they're going to win this. So they want to go full capacity. So I can see them going there on Sunday, but he couldn't have his tournament without going full capacity afterwards. So yeah, it's good. It's fantastic news. I think it's just, you know, common sense has prevailed. Millwall definitely needs the money. And it'll be good to be able to walk up to the ticket office and buy a ticket for those, you know, that's the way we buy our tickets. It's great. I just hope that we're allowed to have away fans, and that we can go to away games as well. So fingers crossed, it's looking good. Proof's in the pudding. But yeah, I think it's all looking good.
I've been blindly hopeful for a lot of this when we've done the past five, six shows now for the close season. I've always been just kind of holding on to that hope it's going to happen. And I feel like this is the closure. I agree with you. I'm not 100% convinced just yet. But I mean, I can confirm that I feel like we should be able to travel, because when you go to these England games like I've been going to and you go up London, it's full of Northerners travelling from all here, there and everywhere. So if they're travelling down to London for the game at Wembley and they're allowed to do it, I don't see why we can't travel to an away game up north. And obviously a London derby hopefully to come as well, Kai, on the first game of the season.
Yeah, and more closely to them that is Gillingham. I really hope we can go to that game on the 27th, is it? Pre-season, it'd be great to go and see what, because in them sort of game we you'll start to see more of a proper 11, won't you, that you're hoping to start the season with. So it'd be really nice if we can get to the Gillingham game, because that's always quite a good pre-season friendly. So yeah, really looking forward to that one, and can't wait to get back to the Den and back to away games.
That's it. I think I've missed it a lot. We've all missed it, of course, but just the thought. I mean, I can't describe. I mean, I think I put it into the voice note maybe I put last Wednesday. I can't remember actually what I said, to be honest with you, in the show when I finished up going to the game on Tuesday. But just for me, and feeling back, looking back on the England-Germany game, not only obviously being there for England-Germany, but just being in a crowd where, you know, you can celebrate it and not have to worry about social distancing. Just, you know, rightly or wrongly to some people, but for me, being there at the game, and just grabbing the first person I saw when England scored the first goal, and the same with the second goal, and the same with Müller's miss, to be honest, just celebrating like, you know, just like the old times before COVID was around. And, you know, it just feels a significant step, Mickey, that, you know, it's almost back to the football we know it as.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the thing is as well, where the writing was on the wall was when it was coming out that there was about 600 potentially Scottish fans who lied over their testing to get to Wembley. And, you know, they suddenly dawned on them that there's no way they're going to be able to guarantee that people are submitting their correct tests or anything else. You know, people, you know, if people want to get to a game, they'll get their mate to do the test and you know, to make sure that it is negative. There you go. Send it in, job done. You know, and that's the problem there with everything, what they want to do, the vaccine, you know, the passports, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People will find a way around it. So it's just easier to go, you know what, we're all grown-ups, use your common sense. You know, masks would be thing. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. You know what, partly certain places, I think I'll probably still wear a mask, to be fair, because there's dirty fuckers out there, not just the COVID, but everything else. So, you know, it is what it is. But no, I think there's nothing better than standing in a football stadium when it's pissing down with rain or when it's thingy, mate. And like you said, you're jumping around like a lunatic, grabbing hold of people you've never seen before in your life, falling down, you know, falling across seats, falling down there, and just literally behaving like a lunatic for an hour and a half, and just losing yourself. It just gets rid of all this madness. You know, we've stuck by the rules long enough, and I think that realistically, we ain't going to stick by the rules if it carries on any longer, purely because I think enough's getting to enough. And, you know, if England win on Wednesday, I think central London is going to erupt. and as long as the dirty fuckers, which is the police football unit, don't just go out and start rounding up England fans. You know, I mean, Scotland fans in there, there's loads of footage of them throwing beer over the coppers, everything else. Absolutely fine. England fans do it. They start nicking us. And if you've seen the footage of that copper who nicked the football when they were playing football in Leicester Square, and it was like the teacher in the playground who was like, you won't play with a ball. He was like, hump this ball and march through the crowd like this. And you just think, mate, do you know what? You know, I understand police have got to do the job, but the football unit are are people that are just, I don't think they can get another job in their life. That's why they do football policing units. So, yeah, interesting.
I even do miss the aggro of an away game. You know, going up north, dealing with local police, Yorkshire police, Manchester police, you name it. I do miss all sort of aggro that comes with Fulham Hill. And I just, you know, I can't wait for the first game where I'm coming back after going up north, seeing Mill get turned over 4-0, coming down on that to come down where you don't have any more beer in your system. You're like, this is shit. Get back to London and your mate goes, should go for another one. I'm like, come on, let's go for another pint then. And just, you know, nightcap the day off. And just, you know, I can't wait for things to get back to normal. And it's almost there. I forgot where it's like, to be honest with you, at this point. The England games are a good little warm up for me, but I hope August just proves to be the month we all want it to be. And hopefully we can go to Blackpool in sunny January as well, chaps.
Yeah, mate. And hopefully Bavarsson ain't been sold. And then you're going for a swim.
He's been linked away with the club for a reason, mate. Yeah, he's going.
He's been linked. He's been
linked. It's happening, sure.
But there was that thing on News at Den, I think, today, or South London, where, you know, Gary's a bit wary that certain players might not be able to get, you know, they won't get a percentage of salaries and all that. Yeah. And hopefully, but Varson's on shitloads of money. He can't go. And then you're going in the drink come Blackpool away.
I'll be honest with you, if he's still, I'll go on a limb to say, not only is he going to go, but if he doesn't go by the end of August, I think we'll rip his contract up and pay him off, because I don't think he's going to stick around here anymore. And I don't think Ryan wants him in the squad either. I'll say it. Can't say it.
Did you see the thing the other day on Instagram of him? He doesn't even look like he's back up pre-season. The other day, if you look on his Instagram, he put a story, like a little story on Instagram, and he was in Iceland still. So
yeah, and also
that's about.
And also, he's I think Benicophobia's got his shirt number. So I mean, you know, I mean, unless he's been given the number 9 shirt, I mean, who knows? But you know, number 23 is taking my Benicophobia. So I think it's the right on the rule personally, but we'll have to wait and see. I think, Mickey, before we round up, I put in here on my show notes, because obviously I saw you a little bit active on Twitter the other day. I put in here about the Spell shirts by Limited Retro. I mean, I want to kind of unleash Mickey Simpson for a couple of minutes before we close off, just for Mickey Simpson.
I think the worst thing is...
What's happened?
Well, basically, there was a company called Limited Retro or Limited Reese or something else, whatever it's called, right? There's a company that's working with Spall. Spall, basically, a few years ago, went bust, and there's a clothing manufacturer in Bradford with a good fella there called Raj. I looked to make the... Which, again, I don't think it's that public knowledge, so it'll be public knowledge now. I looked to... When we won the CPO battle, I looked to make the 88-89 First Division shirt to get that remade. I wanted to sell it to raise money for local charities, so Mill Trust and a few other kids' local charities. I wanted to get the shirt, sell it, make money for these charities. I had Spall's agreement. Spall was ready to go. The only downside was that Spall said, look, you need to get the club's authorization for us to be able to use the badge and obviously use the Lewisham logo. So I went to the club and said, look, this is what I want to do. I don't want to make any money out of it. I want to make it purely for charity, but to celebrate what we've achieved. The club was more than keen to do it. It was just, unfortunately, contracts, what they were involved in, wouldn't allow them to have a shirt with their name on it. So I understood that, and I said, okay, fine, on the pretense that at some point going forward, when they could do it, they would bring out these shirts. And as far as I believe, that's what they're going to do. You obviously had Dan try to do it. He was then blocked by the club because of copyright issues and everything else over the fact that they copyright trademarked the name Millwall. You can't bring out a shirt without, you know, with that one, if they want to stop you, they can. They've got the power to stop you. So Dan of TV Lions fame, he come unstuck. I think he put a statement out going, oh, you know, the club wanted to do it, I let them do it. No, you got told to stop. Same as Limited Retro got told to stop. Whichever way you want to spin it, you didn't have permission and the club forced you to stop. Difference with Limited Retro is that they took... X amount of orders. I don't know how many orders they took. I'm not privy to that. We don't know. But they took X amount of orders. What we do know is that a few people have been refunded, but there's about 5-odd Millwall fans who haven't had their money. And they were sent a note at the beginning of May saying all money will be refunded, or the end of May, all money will be refunded. and the money still hasn't been refunded. So me and Phil Clark have been on his case constantly. You know, he's been blaming and it's Spotify. Phil's given him an education on how Spotify refunds work, and all of a sudden he's now DMing people telling them that the money's coming. But, you know, any little businesses out there what want to try and do stuff with Millwall fans, if you don't play by the book or you want to try and hide, then we will come after you until you pay the money back. It's as simple as that. Millwall fans are the worst people in the world to try and rip off, because amongst the Millwall fan base, there are some very, very, very clever people. And we can find information, we can do whatever we need to do, but you don't rip Millwall fans off. It's as simple as that. These people gave you their hard-earned cash for a shirt, what they really, really wanted. And don't get me wrong, these shirts are as if they come off the shelf in 1988. These will be exactly the same shirts. They're not replicas. They're not anything. These will come out the same blueprints, the same presses, the same templates, everything as if they walked off the shelf in 1988, 89 when we won the league. They are 100% original press shirts as such, but just made now. So they're going to be great shirts, but just be careful of sometimes people offering you stuff what necessarily don't. I don't know other companies what do those shirts, and they've turned up, but these ones had to cancel the order, and unfortunately the refunds weren't there. I'm not saying there's any skullduggery going on, but the refunds were definitely not fast on coming. And as soon as the last man gets his refund and it's all over with, then you know what, our beef with Limited Retro stops there and then. But until that day, then we keep asking questions and we keep making sure that everything's sorted out and make sure that every last Millwall fan gets it. I think it's a Millwall motto, isn't it? No one left behind and no one stands alone. So, yeah, unfortunately, you know, you pull the lion's tail, you're going to get burnt, you cunt.
Well said, Mickey. I think I saw a few kind of cases of people getting blocked as well from the account that they run as well. So it's not great, obviously. It doesn't look great for public image for them either. And like you said, mate, there are people you want to mess with as Millwall fans when it comes to especially subjects like this. So, yeah, I think it's well said, mate. I think that's everything from me today, lads. Anything else you two want to plug before we go?
No, I think that's it too, yeah.
Mickey?
Congratulations to I can't think of his name now. The guy from the Romans, who's now been taken on board as the ambassador for the Millwall Trust. I can't think of his fucking name. I think that's really rude of me now. Bear with me 1 second, and I'll tell
whilst
you
Mickey
name.
Finds the name, I will continue to plug. If, like I said, I did at the start of the show, be sure to check out our socials at That Mill Pod. We put a little rumor mill going every day, and obviously any links to the club. Same across all social media at That Mill Pod, and obviously give us a 5-star rating if you've enjoyed the show. Some feedback's always appreciated, any good and bad, to be honest. And yeah, Mickey, got a name?
Yeah, his name's Paul Loden.
Paul Loden.
Yeah, Loding. Loden. That's what I'm saying.
Congrats to Paul Loden from
Millwall Romans. Being the ambassador for the Millwall Trust. So, yeah, other than that, I think that's pretty much us done. One thing before we go, you know, on Wednesday when we play, that's the when we play England play Denmark, that's the 4-year anniversary for old Bradders. Remember the Sunderland fan who sadly passed?
Bradley Lowry, the kid.
Yeah. That's the 4-year anniversary since he passed. So if there ever is an omen.
Hopefully we do the business then.
And hopefully the FA should invite his family to Wembley to sit there and go do, but no doubt the FA won't do that because they're a crock of shit.
They need a fan on the boards going by the name of Mickey Simpson to spot these little things, mate.
Can you imagine me on the FA board as fucking the favourite with fucking hell, mate. Royal box for all, I think.
That'd be good. Yeah, that'd be handy. Presenting the trophy over for the final on Sunday as well. So, yeah, I'd expect nothing but that. But, yeah, we ran our course here as always, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll be back next Wednesday with another show. Thank you very much.